good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet of M studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night, and our delayed broadcast going out on Access Radio Wellington, Capri Coast Radio, and Plains of M in Christchurch on Saturday night. Just realised today that we go out in Wellington on Saturday night between 10:15 and 11:15. I always thought it was between 8:30 and 9:30, but they must have changed the schedule down there, so hopefully people down there are tuned in every week to the programme, which is brought to you, as it has been for a number of years now, with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, been lots of developments in Ireland since we were on air last week, but in case you haven't caught up with the news, there could have been a general election underway now if the former Minister for Justice, Frances Fitzgerald, hadn't resigned. So she did in the early hours this morning. So no election before Christmas, but with the way things are going, I doubt if this government will continue getting the support from Fianna Fáil for probably another 6 months. And it's probably nicer time of the year to go out canvassing in May and June than it is in December. But more about that and lots of other news, locally and international news on the programme tonight. First up tonight, I'm playing a special song, Ave Maria, and I want to dedicate this to a special man that's listening in tonight who hasn't been too well. That's Peter Chiaroni. And Peter met your wife Margaret at Mass on Sunday night. You said you'd love to hear this song, Ave Maria. And I haven't heard this version before. It's from Michael Crawford. So I hope this makes you, lift your spirits a bit tonight as you listen to this song. And again, congratulations to you and Margaret. You were married 37 years ago in St. Mary of the Angels in Wellington. So congratulations, and I hope you like this particular version of Ave Maria.
Take home.
Yes, what a lovely version of the song Ave Maria, sung there by Michael Crawford, and that went out especially to Peter Chiaroni, who's recovering at home after spending some time in hospital. And that request came from your wife, Margaret Peters, so hopefully you enjoyed that. Well, that song was being sung there through the Irish Independent today. We'll go back to the front page. I'll do what it says in the papers here for you. And main headline says, election averted, but Brexit drama begins. Fitzgerald steps down for the sake of the country. Top official in the Justice Department retires, and Coveney is tipped to be the new Taoiseach, our Deputy Prime Minister. So the other headlines inside, campaign on back burner as ministers left to focus on Brexit. Taoiseach wants me to play full role, according to Fitzgerald. She'll now go in front of the Charlton Inquiry. And just to recap, the reason she retired when she was Minister for Justice a few years ago, a number of emails came across her desk that she said she can't remember reading them in detail, but she does remember getting them, and she didn't take any action. And this all related to the inquiry by investigation that was set up into the whistleblowing of Detective Sergeant McCabe. And he had obviously made some serious allegations against members of the police force, and the former commissioner, in fact the two former commissioners, had tried to say that he was telling lies, and there was a tribunal set up, and there was some dirty work done on the background, and you know, to try to discredit McCabe. And the Minister for Justice probably could have come out and said, you know, when she became aware of the email that the legal team for the police were certainly keen to dish up some dirt on McCabe. So it's obviously brought down one former Justice Minister, Alan Shatter, former Police Commissioner Callaghan, a second Police Commissioner resigned, Noreen O'Sullivan, and now another Justice Minister, Francis Fitzgerald, has resigned, and the current Justice Minister, who was here accompanying President Michael D. Higgins a few weeks ago, Charlie Flanagan, he had to go into the Dáil chamber last night and apologise for misleading the Dáil. He basically didn't read an email that he got last week, and the Taoiseach made some statements that he wouldn't have made if he'd known about these emails. So other headlines, Coveney up for promotion as Brexit tops the agenda. Election may have been averted, but Ireland's credibility in tatters. Irish threat puts UK in impossible situation. And I miss significance of email at centre of row, explains Flanagan. A departing justice boss makes an unprecedented attack on the Taoiseach. It sounds like the Department of Justice needs a good thorough going over. And I see former Fine Gael TD and now current broadcaster Ivan Yates has come out and basically said it's time now to overhaul the Justice Department. So lots and lots of stuff. Micheál gets his nose in front of Leo as we catch up, as we catch a glimpse of future battles. And everybody thinks that Leo Varadkar failed in his first major exam since he took over from Enda Kenny as leader of Fine Gael and obviously Taoiseach of the country. But more about that and all the other news later on the programme tonight. Right, off we go here with this time. It is the Pogues. Your eyes blue. Yes, the Pogues there, and misty morning, Albert Bridge. If you've tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night in Auckland. Delayed broadcast going out in Wellington, Cavity Coast and Christchurch on a Saturday night. And greetings to people listening to us on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the world. Just going back to the big story in Ireland, which has dominated the news over the last few days. The country was on the verge of a general election as a result of emails not read by the former Minister for Justice, and now she's the former Aidan Enterprise, Frances Fitzgerald. The Taoiseach had backed her all the way last week since news of these revelations came into the fore, and he said that she did nothing wrong and she was willing to go to the Charlton Inquiry, which is investigation allegations against Sergeant Maurice McCabe and the campaign against him. And she said, you know, she was willing to give plenty of information and obviously make sure that she didn't do anything wrong in relation to the emails. But there was one email last week, and then on Monday night there was discovered there was three more emails, and these emails weren't even sent forward to the Charlton Tribunal either. So lots of things happening, and former TD and now broadcaster Ivan Yeats has basically given Leo Varadkar a fail mark for his handling of the situation to bring the country to the brink of a general election, and also obviously backing a minister that was a little bit incompetent. So just to recap the heads that have fallen. Well, Maurice McCabe, he's a whistleblower, and he first began raising questions about Garda malpractice more than 10 years ago. The Ongoing Disclosures Tribunal is probing if he was subject to an alleged smear campaign by Garda. Former Garda Commissioner Martin Callaghan, he resigned in March 2014 with the force embroiled in two controversy, namely the whistleblower issue and concern over the practice of recording phone calls at the Garda stations. Alan Shatter, former Minister for Justice, he also resigned as a minister in May 2014 after his handling of the whistleblower claims were criticised by the Garda report. The Higgins Commission subsequently found Mr. Shatter handled the concerns appropriately, but then he was already gone and obviously been too happy with the way Enda Kenny forced him out. Brian Purcell, he was a former Department of Justice Secretary. He stood aside in July 2014 after the then Minister Frances Fitzgerald published the Toland report on the department, which identified a closed, secretive and silo-driven culture there. Then Enda Kenny, he basically, his departure was speeded up earlier this year after over his handling of revelations in February that false allegations of child abuse were made against whistleblower Maurice McCabe. Noreen O'Sullivan, there was calls for her to be sacked earlier this year, but she went of her own free will in September, got a big handshake, picked up a new job now in Europe, and she said that the unending cycle of investigations and inquiries into Garda controversies was making it difficult to implement the deep reform necessary to modernise the Gardaí. That's the reason she went. And then Noel Waters, he left last night. He was due to retire in February next year, but he's served as Acting Secretary General of Justice after Purcell's departure. He was appointed on a permanent basis in October 16, and he had planned to retire in February next year, but decided to go last night. So certainly a very messy affair, and if the election had gone ahead, or an election called and canvassing going on, it would have to be held on either the 19th or 20th of December. I'm sure it's the last thing people would have needed this time of the year leading up to Christmas. But more importantly, huge negotiations going on in early December at a big European summit relating to Brexit. And obviously the big issue for Ireland is whether or not there'll be a hard border, which nobody wants, between the north and south of Ireland. Righto, we're going to have you two, with or without you now, and I'm going to play this for a neighbour of mine, believe it or not, who I haven't met yet, but I'll meet in a week's time, Edwina Halliwell, who's originally from Kilkenny, but a strong Tipperary connection, so she'd have a bob each way when the All-Ireland final is on. But Edwina and her family just live close to where I am, and we'll see her next bit to get together, and she said she'd like to hear you two, with or without you. So if everything goes well, we should have you two singing here, with or without you. Yes, well, that is U2, but it's certainly not With or Without You. And Edwina, I'm sorry about that, but I have a U2 album here called U2 18 Singles, and they must have got the songs mixed up on the sleeve, but certainly U2 there singing Pride. And I hope you enjoyed that song. Actually, we might play a Kilkenny song for you before the end of the programme. All right, if you've tuned in, welcome along. And just to recap again, if you missed the early part of the programme, no general election. Ireland, all's calm at the moment, but I can probably guarantee you that there'll be an election within 6 months, because Fianna Fáil know that now they have the current government rattled, and both they, you know, they're agreed to support the government for three budgets. The next budget is not due till October, but if they don't like the way things are going, they can pull the rug under the government's feet, and that'll probably happen. We'll move to the of the papers, and we'll just look back at some of the big games at the weekend. And of course, Ireland had their third of their three rugby internationals. Of course, a great start against South Africa. A second team went out against Fiji and came through, and then they played Argentina last weekend, and some new players put their hands up. So three out of three, and Joe Schmidt is building a good squad ahead of the Six Nations. Scotland, obviously, big victors over Australia, and almost beat the All Blacks last week. They'll be a big threat along with England, and indeed France and Wales, when the Six Nations, so that'll be exciting. More worrying for the Irish Rugby Union and Munster at the moment is news breaking yesterday that Peter O'Mahony, Munster captain and obviously Irish international, whose contract expires at the end of this year, has turned down the latest offer from the IRFU, and said that there's three offers on the table, two from wealthy French clubs and one from an English club. So obviously the Irish Rugby Union will have to decide, do they want to invest in O'Mahony, keep him there for the Rugby World Cup in 2019 and beyond. And you'll have read last week here how Ronan O'Gara has taken up a one-year coaching position with the Crusaders, and he's leaving Racing 92 to come down here and after Christmas. So it'll be good to have somebody like him down here, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to him on the programme after he settles in Christchurch. But there were some big games in Gaelic games of the week, and the club championships finals are coming to a close now. And the big news of the weekend was Nemo Rangers from Cork beating odds on favourites Dr. Crokes, led by the Gooch Cooper, who's obviously retired this year. But Nemo Rangers 16 points, Dr. Crokes 11, and they'll be able to rest now till February when they take on Sleath Neill in the All-Ireland Club Football Championships. Corrifin, they were victors over in the West. They had to go to extra time to beat Castlebar Mitchells. So they've got to play the London champions Fulham Harps in 2 weeks' time, and then that'll set them up for a semi-final with winners of the Leinster Championships, which will be taking place in a few weeks' time. Obviously, the big guns knocked out there a few weeks ago. Rathnew from Wicklow knocked out St Vincent's. They, in turn, were beaten by Moorfield from Kildare at the weekend. So it's Moorfield. They're going to be up against, who are they playing? I'll check, come back to that in a minute. I know I was listening to these games, or the results of them, early hours of Monday morning. But certainly some big shocks there as club matches go, with Vincent's from Dublin and Austin Stacks not making it to the final stages of the club championships in football. I'll just have a look here. So yeah, Moorfield 2-13 beat Rathnew, and then other games that was on. Yeah, St Lomans. Yeah, St Lomans will be taking on Moorfield. They beat Simonstown. St Lomans 13 points, Simonstown 1-8, and the winner of that will play Corrifin if they could beat Fulham Harps, which will be expected. And up north, Sleath Neill, they were victors over Cavan Harps, and they will take on the team from Munster, Nemo Rangers, in early February. What else has been happening? Well, that's all the main stories happening in on the Gaelic games front. Last night, or earlier this week, Monday night, the ladies soccer team, they went on in a World Cup qualifying match to take on the Netherlands, who are very, very good, and they managed to come away with a credible draw. So there's still a chance that we might have an Irish team at the World Cup in Russia in next year. But it won't be the men, as we know. Both the men and the men from Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland teams got beaten in the playoffs a few weeks ago.
Fairies.
Yes, Clonard and Paul Young there, and a lovely song called Both Sides Now. And hopefully this programme gives you a bit of Both Sides Now, keeping you updated here with what's happening over there in Ireland and updating you on things happening around the country here in New Zealand as well within the Irish community. I know the Gaelic football games here at in Auckland are coming to a close. The semi-finals that were on last weekend, and finals should be on this weekend, and games are being played there at Seddon Fields and Meola Road. You can get all the information on the Auckland GA Club and aucklandga.co.nz, all the details there. Right, well, we've been having beautiful weather here over the last week or 10 days, certainly very warm temperatures, a bit different over in Ireland, freezing temps there at the weekend, and the weather today is cold and bright with showers in the west and the north. Highest temperatures ranging between 4 and 7 degrees in fresh northerly breezes. Of course, the Brexit exit is a huge issue for Ireland and indeed for the European Union, and I see negotiations ended last night with Britain agreeing to pay a divorce settlement for leaving the European Union of about €50 billion. And the big thing coming up at the summit in the week after next is how the issues are going to be dealt with regarding Northern Ireland. Of course, the majority of Northern Ireland voters voted to stay in the European Union, but the Democratic Unionist Party have pinned their collar to the English government, and they'll be following them no matter what. And I heard Arlene Foster, they had a conference last weekend, and she basically wants to make sure that both Britain and Northern Ireland gets a good deal out of leaving the European Union. And Tommy Gorman, the Northern Ireland RTE correspondent, asked her, well, you obviously mentioned Britain, you mentioned Northern Ireland, what about the Republic of Ireland? Do you not care what's happening them? And she basically said to Tommy, well, they're able to look after themselves. And she feels that the current government, under the guidance of Leo Varadkar, and more, she pointed out, Simon Coveney as Foreign Affairs Minister, they haven't been very helpful to the Northern Ireland cause since they've been in power for the last few months. And she indicated that Coveney had said that one of his views and dreams is to see United Ireland, you know, whenever that day comes. But certainly Arlene Foster wouldn't be the most liked person, politician down in Dublin. And it sounds the feeling is mutual for Irish politicians going forward. But they have to try to get the executive up and running again. Sinn Féin and Democratic Unionist Party are at loggerheads. Basically, the assembly or executive hasn't been running since the end of January. And Martin, the late president of Martin McGuinness, deputy leader of Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland, pulled the plug on the government over the issue where Arlene Foster was involved in a cash for a heat generation system that cost the Irish or the taxpayers about €500,000. She wouldn't resign and McGuinness wouldn't support them. And then there was issues over funding of Irish language education programmes in Northern Ireland, which the Democratic Unionist Party are blocking that at every corner. So certainly a lot of work to be done, both in terms of getting the executive up and running in Northern Ireland, but obviously the whole issue regarding Brexit and when Britain pulls out. And of course, the royal engagement got a bit of publicity. In fact, in the Irish Independent on Tuesday, it got a double page spread on page 2 and page 3. So things like that wouldn't have got much publicity in Irish newspapers 40 years ago, but you can see modern Irish newspaper editors know what people want to read, and they want to read about the engagement and when this new couple will be getting married, I think, May, according to the reports in the paper this afternoon or today. Right, we've got the Saw Doctors here, and Only One Girl. yes, the Saw Doctors there, the lads from Toome, still going strong, and one of their hits from recent years, Only One Girl. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, almost 40 minutes gone, broadcasting here in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Delayed broadcast going out in Wellington, Kapiti Coast and Christchurch on Saturday night. And welcome to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz. Around New Zealand and around the globe, programme brought to you with support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, I mentioned there about the cold weather in Ireland, and it looks like it's took its toll on a homeless man who was living in a tent almost at the entrance to Gonzaga College in Ranelagh. Authorities have known this man has been sleeping in a tent and sleeping rough, living on the streets for a number of years, but the Garda and Fire Brigade from Donnybrook were called on Monday afternoon, and obviously after he's found dead, but his death has not been treated as suspicious. And the latest count, according to Anthony Flynn, who's director of the Inner City Helping Homeless Organisation, said that there's 184 people now sleeping rough in Dublin every night, and obviously leading to bad weather, or when the bad weather comes in, it has a huge impact on these people. So I know last year about three people died on the streets, and I don't know if it was last year or the previous February, a man died literally on the steps of Buswell's Hotel, which is across the road from Leinster House. Some good news, the Book Awards, the Bord Gáis Energy Irish Book Awards winners were announced last night, and winners included Bernard McLaverty, Marion Keyes, and Midwinter Break. McLaverty's first novel in 16 years won the Novel of the Year, and The Break by Keyes won the Popular Fiction Book of the Year. The Best Irish Published Book of the Year went to The Atlas of the Irish Revolution, which has sold over 22,000 copies despite being almost 1,000 pages and weighing 5 kilograms, and it costs €59. And then I Found My Tribe by Fitzmaurice, Ruth Fitzmaurice, won the Newcomer Book of the Year. And Wounds, a memoir of war and love by Fergal Keane, was voted non-fiction book of the year. And the prize went to Mother Folklore by Darragh O'Shanada, won the popular non-fiction book. So there you go. If you want to get a book or two, an Irish book for Christmas, you could get onto Amazon and look up them books, and they'll be delivered to you before Christmas. We'll move on with Crowley's Set.
didn't know today would be our last, or that I'd have to say goodbye to you so fast. I'm so numb, I can't feel anymore. I'm praying you'd just walk back through that door and tell me that I was only dreaming. You're not really gone as long as I believe. There will be another angel around the throne tonight. Your love lives on inside of me, and I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm just jealous of the angels around the throne tonight. Always made my troubles feel so small, and you were always there to catch me when I'd fall. In a world where heroes come and go, well, God just took the only one I know. So I'll hold you as close as I can, longing for the day when I see your face again. But until then, God must need another angel around the throne tonight. Your love lives on inside, and I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm just jealous of the angels around the throne tonight, singing how tonight.
Yes, that's Donna Taggart, a young singer from County Tyrone, with a big hit for her, Jealous of the Angels. And if you've tuned in, you've missed most of the programme. We got about 12 minutes left before the end of the programme. And at the start of the programme tonight, I announced the big news was that it generated as a result of the resignation of the former Minister for Justice, Frances Fitzgerald. She was Deputy Prime Minister, Taoiseach, Minister for Trade and Enterprise, and obviously spent 3 weeks in Australia with President Michael D. Higgins just over a month ago, accompanying the President. And her successor as Minister for Justice, Charlie Flanagan, he spent the week with the President here in New Zealand. He had to apologise to the Parliament, the Doyle, last night over not alerting the Taoiseach of an email that he got on Thursday or Friday of last week. But some people are calling for his head to go as well. But I think the opposition politicians, especially Sinn Féin and Fine Gael, or Fianna Fáil, will be waiting in the long grass for their opportunity, but especially Fianna Fáil, because without their support, the government will collapse. They have a supply and confidence arrangement, but they can be cancelled if Fianna Fáil thinks that they can do a better job. And speaking of doing a better job, Leo Varadkar backed his minister to the hilt. He said he wouldn't sack her, he wouldn't ask her to resign. She resigned of her own free accord, according to her press statement last night. And he consistently used not throwing her under the bus, under the bus at the weekend. But I just thought I'd share a few short letters from the Irish Times today relating to how the Taoiseach has handled things. Sir, even without the benefit of the Taoiseach's medical qualifications, I would hazard a guess that a sticking plaster is of no use whatsoever in treating a broken leg. The Taoiseach is reported to be a fast learner. The first rule of political self preservation is never throw yourself under a bus. That came from a David Doyle who's living in Singapore. This one from Eddie Kelly in Waterford. He says the bus was parked on the plinth for at least a week. The Taoiseach just failed to see it. Another one here says, can we assume the grand old Duke of Cork will confine his troops to the barracks for the foreseeable future? That came from Pat O'Sullivan in Temple Ogan, Dublin. And to quote Mr. Spock from Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. That came from Kevin Devitt in Westport. And finally here, a Connell Ordinary Panto. It's the Linterhouse Panto. It's Misha Christmas or Chris O'Keefe. And there is a Christmas pantomime on at the Gaiety. I think it's Rapunzel. It runs till the end of January. So if you're heading over to Ireland for Christmas, and especially if you're in Dublin, it's always good to take in the old pantomime that's on. I mentioned earlier about the fact that Peter O'Mahony has rejected an offer made by the rugby union to him, and basically the rugby union controlled the salaries paid to Munster players. And he said that he's had two big offers put on the table from French clubs and an English club, so lots of negotiations to be done. And the new Munster coach was unveiled yesterday, and he's Johan van Gran. And he's come from South Africa, and he had to face questions yesterday about whether Peter O'Mahony, his captain, is they'll be able to put a deal together to keep in Munster. And then other news overnight is that CJ Stander, who obviously is originally from South Africa and has been playing for Ireland, his contract is obviously up for renewal as well, and there's talks that he could be offered triple his current salary by a French rugby club. So obviously if you go and play overseas, Joe Schmidt, the coach, doesn't include you in your plans for the Irish setup for the Six Nations or World Cup. So it'll be a huge blow if Stander goes, and I think he'd be a fool to do it, because money would be doing all the talking. He certainly has a lot to be thankful for by the opportunity given to him by Munster and the Irish Rugby Union. And if he takes the money and goes to France, I'd say he'd lose a lot of the admirers that he's had in Ireland over the last few years. But no doubt these stories are coming out, so that the Irish Rugby Union chief negotiators have to dig a bit deeper into their pockets, and obviously put good deals on the table that will keep these top class international players playing for Ireland. Foster and Allen and the Blacksmith.
Last Christmas came a tempter to my wife, stole the only flower I cherished, and I vowed I'd have his life. In the street one day I met him, in my eyes that villain grinned. Then the curse of Cain came o'er me, 'twas on that very day I sinned. Sure I dream as the hammer strikes the anvil, and I dream as the spark light on the floor. Of my blue-eyed turtle dove, she's the only girl I love. she stood outside that good old smithy door. 12 months passed, then came my trial. In the court I saw my wife, and I heard her beg for mercy. When they sentenced me for life, for 12 long years I've read her letters. The only comfort I can tell, when I heard that she was dying, was then my lonely spirits fell. Then got home footsore and weary at the breaking of the dawn. She was glad, so glad to see me in my arms. That night she died. Then the warders rushed to the doorway, they found me there inside. When they saw her lifeless body, and I kneeling on the floor, they said, "Jack, my lad, we'll trust you. Come back when you've laid her low." Dream as the hammer beats the anvil, and I dream as the sparks light on the floor. Of my blue-eyed turtle dove, she's the only girl I love, as she stood outside that good old smithy.
Foster and Allen and the Blacksmith, and I'm pretty sure Foster and Allen are coming down here next year, so if you're a fan, you can just look online. I know their ads have been running on television. We normally have a chat with them if they're down here, so hopefully you know, they'll be available when they come to New Zealand and we can have a chat. They've been going strong. They had a few issues with some tax returns a few years ago, and they seem to have got over that and managed to keep the show on the road. Well, this show is coming to an end. I just want to thank the Hugh Green Group for their support, and thank you for tuning in. And if you liked what you heard on the probe tonight, hopefully you'll come back again next week. And I know for next week for sure there'll certainly be no chance of the government being brought to its knees in Ireland. They'll stick together for at least a few weeks and possibly a few months. But I would say that, you know, come the middle of the year next year, it's likely that there'll be a general election in Ireland. All right, I'll leave you tonight with Aoife Scott and All Along the Atlantic Way. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.
Love. place. When will you bring me my love all along the wild Atlantic way? 60 years in Goshen, waiting for the day, day that we're returning home all along the wild Atlantic way. When will you bring me my love, counting down the days? When will you bring me my love all along the wild Atlantic way? That shipwreck in the bay, sat and watched the northwest sunset all along the wild Atlantic way. The time that we climbed Crow Patrick nearly went astray. Our legs were aching, falling off us all along the wild Atlantic way. When will you bring me my love all along the wild Atlantic way? Time that we went skinny dipping down.